The most combustible story in the world right now is not one story. It's a cluster of interconnected developments around Iran, and they're all moving simultaneously. Let's start with what we know about the ceasefire collapse. The U.S.-Iran ceasefire, which was brokered at some point in recent weeks, has now effectively broken down. And that breakdown is doing something fascinating inside Tehran's leadership structure. It's making visible a power struggle that's been simmering since Ayatollah Khamenei's death. You're seeing pragmatists who genuinely wanted some form of diplomatic off-ramp get undercut by hardliners who read any concession to Washington as existential weakness.
The foreign policy implications of that internal split are enormous, Marcus, and the timing with the Strait of Hormuz is critical. Attacks near the strait and strikes on U.S. bases in the region have now been attributed to elements of the Iranian military apparatus that are not under unified command. That's the real danger signal here, not just that Iran is hostile, but that nobody in Tehran may be fully in control of who pulls the trigger next. When you have a post-Khamenei leadership vacuum intersecting with factional competition, the risk of miscalculation spikes considerably.
And that context explains why Trump's decision to stop flying on the Qatari-gifted jet and return to the older Air Force One configuration is meaningful symbolically, even if the aircraft change itself is logistically minor. Qatar sits at the intersection of U.S.-Iran diplomacy. The Qatari government has historically served as an intermediary channel between Washington and Tehran. Abandoning the Qatari aircraft at a moment when that ceasefire is collapsing sends a signal, intentional or not, that could be read as distancing from the mediation relationship Qatar has played.
There's also the Freedom Fuel story near Philadelphia, which sounds like a local business item, but is actually a window into how the Iran conflict is already affecting domestic energy psychology. These stations launching near Philadelphia at a moment when the Iran ceasefire has collapsed and oil markets are jittery, that branding isn't incidental. People are connecting fuel prices to Middle East instability in real time. It's worth noting that S&P futures are trading around 7,533 this morning, essentially flat, which suggests markets haven't yet fully priced in an escalation scenario with Iran.
Now, the Spain situation is almost a case study in how erratic trade signaling can be deployed as diplomatic leverage, even if it confuses every ally watching. Trump calls Spain a wasted cause at the NATO summit, orders a trade cutoff, which, as the New York Times correctly notes, would immediately provoke a broader trade confrontation with the entire European Union, since Spain is an EU member state and trade policy isn't bilateral in that relationship, and then reverses course within 24 hours, citing an unspecified payment. That phrase, unspecified payment, is doing enormous work there. What was the payment? Was it a defense spending commitment? A NATO contribution pledge? We don't know, and the opacity itself is part of the leverage strategy.
Giorgia Meloni's response is also worth examining. She's saying, no regrets after what's being described as a frosty encounter with Trump at the summit. That's notable because Meloni has been one of the European leaders most ideologically aligned with the current U.S. administration. If she's describing the encounter as frosty and publicly distancing herself, that suggests the Spain incident genuinely alarmed European conservatives, not just the traditional left-leaning critics of Trump's trade approach.
And threading through all of this is Trump's announcement that Syria will be removed from the U.S. terrorism list. That's a significant diplomatic move that's getting somewhat buried under the Iran and Spain noise, but it matters for regional stability, and particularly for how the new Syrian government is trying to access international financial systems and reconstruction funding. The decision has obvious implications for how Turkey, Israel, and the Gulf states all recalibrate their post-Assad strategies.
What we're watching is essentially a foreign policy improvisation operating at a pace that allies and adversaries genuinely struggle to track. The question for the coming days is whether the Iran ceasefire can be reconstructed, whether that requires Qatar's mediation channel, and whether the Spain reversal holds or we see another flip. This administration has shown a consistent pattern of sharp reversals, which creates a kind of negotiating chaos that is sometimes intentional and sometimes just noise.